Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 168. This is the conclusion, part two. Jesus trusted in God to deliver. Can we? Today is Sunday, October 10th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota and located in Disciples Ministries, historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you live anywhere in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. Also, join our online community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at Pastor Paul's blog. There you're going to find scripture links within the messages. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. Join us every Friday for part one and every Sunday for part two of Pastor Paul's weekly podcast. For the month of October, these are the following messages: God's peace, wonderful peace; Jesus trusted in God to deliver, can we; live life earnestly; sow in the wind, reap under clouds; and made willing. So have a great month of October. We'll see you back here every week, both Friday and Sunday. God bless you.
And I knew when I went in that room that that was the man. It was the man. You know what? He was dying. He had everybody had been up there and prayed for him, and they got out of there in a hurry. They didn't want to be caught up with somebody that would die on him. Nobody wanted to claim him. It was really weird. Well, I said, you have life and you have life eternal. Have you received Jesus as your personal Savior? I prayed with him. He received Jesus as a personal Savior and dropped dead. It wasn't too long after. That's not a sad thing. It's a happy thing. I said, do you trust God? Don't trust me. I can't keep you alive. You have to trust God now in this thing. I went to a funeral not too long back, and they had been claiming for this man to after he died, they claimed him to come back to life again, and God just didn't. Now God can do that. But see, What's the point of it? What's the point of bringing back all the people that died, bringing them back to life again? It says the Father rejoices in heaven over these people that come to Him. And a fellow was sitting there, and he was sitting there like this, and I knew he was contemplating on how he was going to reach God to bring. And this guy had already been embalmed. And he was doing one of these wise kick things with his finger on his face and a quizzical look in his eye. And was that going to bring the man back? Half the people who were there was glad he was gone. It's the truth. Did you know that? That when you go, there's going to be a lot of, oh, that burden is lifted. You get sick and stay around a few years and see how many people want you. Oh, God was merciful and took them. Huh? Get paralyzed from the neck down and see how many people want you around. No, don't trust in each other. Trust in the Lord. I ministered to a girl one time and she was paralyzed from the neck down. And she was sitting there, and everybody, you know, went and prayed for her, and they all left, and it was, they did this claiming and that claiming, and I said, well, I'm going to pray the same way. But I says, in the end, I says, you're going to have to trust God. And I come back up there, and she was all excited, but she came, all of her friends now had come up to see her, and the boyfriend had left her, and so on like that. She's sitting there perfectly still like this, and had no feeling in her toes, no feeling in her legs, no feeling in her knees, no feeling in her arms, no feeling in her buttocks, no feeling in her upper body, no feeling anywhere. And she's sitting like this. And you could see that she was totally, totally out of it. And I said, you know what? Why don't you start praying for somebody instead of sitting there meaner than all get out? And she got mad at me. But you know what? Before I left, she started praying. She said, well, I want to pray for my grandma. She started praying. I says, you know, you sit there and trust God and you start praying for people. I don't even know if she's still alive yet. But it gave her something to do. God, that's sad when people go up there like that. And they make all their claims and they do everything. You know, I'm not saying that there is not the prayer of faith and all that, but hey. But soon they're going to say of you, he trusted in God. And you in the wheelchair, they're going to say, he trusts in God, and he's in a wheelchair. He trusts in God, and he's in a respirator. He trusts in God, and the baby's in an incubator. He trusts in God, and his house is gone. He trusts in God. Isn't he crazy? He trusts in God. Are you hearing this? Don't be, you know, have so much reliance on your own talents, on your own tact, on your own experience, on your own looks, on your own know-how. You know why? It will kill faith. How are you going to do this? I don't know. I'm going to trust in the Lord to show us how. How are you going to get out of this predicament? I'm going to have to trust in God again. Oh, that we may know what faith means. And then look out outside of ourselves and stop that evil confidence which looks within. Well, what are we going to do? I don't know. What do you think? You ever got into that? What are your thoughts on this? What do you think? Why not join hands and pray? And say, God, we don't even know what to think of this situation. And join hands and say, God, show us a way out of this wilderness. God, show us a way out of this thing. We're going to trust you. And then get busy doing for others. Whew. But also, our Lord never was despondent. He was never discouraged. He never questioned his commission. Preacher, has God got you somewhere? Maybe you're over there in Ethiopia right now. Maybe the flies are all over you. You have very little eat. Maybe you're looking at all this misery over there. Maybe you're saying, oh God, what am I doing here? How do I get out of this? How do I look good leaving here? You won't look good. Don't complain about your commission. Don't question your commission. If God has set you there, you aren't going to be happier anywhere else. Do you want to come home, man, and not have any sleep at all? Many times in my ministry, I thought, oh, I wish I could just cut and run, jump on an airplane, fly someplace. You know what? You'd just be laying in some motel, miserable as could be. Say amen, somebody. Yeah, running away isn't it? Preacher, are you despaired in fulfilling what God has told you to? Trust in God. Whatever it took, Jesus says, I'm going to trust in God. I am willing to make that sacrifice. And he never said, I must give up. What's the use? I can't make it. No, he trusted in God. And this is the beautiful thing about our faith, that while it keeps us from self-conceit, it delivers us from fear. Now, you don't have a fear. Now, we're probably going to need for the rest of this year $250,000, maybe $300,000 for what God has got us to do. Where is it going to come from? We're going to take up a collection, and we need to raise $300,000+. Now, I want you all to dig real deep, and I'm going to trust you. And you count the money, and you got $19.14. Do you get mad at the people? No, you got to trust in God. Well, how's he going to send it? Well, like I said, I don't care how it gets here, as long as it gets here. Camel, horse, back, I don't care. It'll come. Well, how do you know? I don't. I know nothing. I don't know. When's it going to come? Why don't you name a date? 3:30. July 4th. Yankee Doodle Dandy Day. It'll be here. People do that, you know. I claim at 3:30 in the afternoon, because I got things to do. See, and I want to know what time it's going. Do you trust God? Maybe it'll happen another way. Maybe you won't get the 300,000. Maybe trucks will come drive you. You look up the street and all these trucks are coming. Maybe God will lay a railroad track right down Oliver Avenue. Maybe he'll fill up a channel full of water and bring it in here and all the food will be dropped off. I don't know. Trust God to deliver. I don't know how he's going to deliver it. It's just there. We got done with this great big giveaway. I was on the phone the other day, and then the food came in after this big giveaway. I says, well, there's 40,000 pounds here, and there's another one coming. I got off. I said, well, how do you mean? And how do you know that? And 15 minutes later, a guy called up. Can you take 40,000 pounds of potatoes? And another guy calls, and now there's a trailer sitting out here. Do you trust God to deliver? Well, I sure do. I don't care how they get here, folks, as long as they get here. Are you hearing it? And it's going to keep us from self-conceit. Yes, I've learned how to reach out and touch the hand of God. I didn't come all at once, you know. I went through trials. Oh, yes, yes, yes. But now I'm writing a book. I have the formula. It's called Formula for Knowing and Grabbing a Hold of God and Getting What You Want on Time. And that's the kind of stuff they got out now, isn't it? Doesn't that smack a conceit? Doesn't that conceited? They're laying down there in Florida writing these books. We're up here suffering in the cold of winter. Then they'll go around in the season and they'll have these meetings. And, oh, hey, some of these meetings, and you see people. I'm not saying people don't go down under the power of God, but some of those meetings I've went to, I know it is just play. Say amen, somebody. Oh, well. You know how I know? By my spirit when I go in there. I say, oh God, this wounds me in my spirit. I don't want to see it. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm saying that a lot of that stuff is not of God. I said it and I'm glad. It is not of the Lord, a lot of it. You over there, that whole side, fall! Everybody falls over. And I know how to check them out. All you over that choir, throw your billfolds up on the stage. They'd probably fall over all right. It's the truth. And the truth will set you free. There's a whole lot of sham going on. That's what's happening. But I don't care how them potatoes get here. I don't care how them tomatoes get here. As long as they get here, I'm going to trust God. And I don't care how the money comes or if it comes. And it said he set his face like a flint. And when baffled, he returned to the conflict. Oh, I can remember I baffled on the different things. Oh, God, I got to get away for a while. Oh, and I'd go someplace to get away, and I'd get away. Tum-ta-dum-ta-dum. And I'd get away, and I'd be sitting there with coffee and sitting there, and I'm baffled. You know what to do when you're baffled? Return to the conflict. Well, I'm baffled. You ain't going to solve it over here. You got to return to the battle. How can you win the battle if you're not in it? You go over here and get out of the battle. I claim that battle over there to be won. In the name of Jesus, I want that battle won. I want to go back and have peace over there. And I'm not going to go back, Lord. I'm going to finish this coffee. And I'm going to stay here and drink coffee until it's won. I trust you. And that's the kind of preaching that's out there. And we'll go to these meetings and we smile at each other and, well, we're just trusting in God for $4 million. What are you going to do with it? Well, we got to buy a pipe organ and there's things we got to do. We got to build a gymnasium. With all due respects to gymnasiums, I don't think churches need to build gymnasiums. I mean, you can get a whole lot of exercise delivering groceries or tracks or doing something for God instead of playing against each other basketball or volleyball. Your serve. Don't that look stupid when the world is starving? How'd you like to see a rerun movie of that? And see it in God's perspective, and see it like Jehovah Eagle sees it out there, and see that thing, and there's people starving over here. You're served. I'm not against all that, but I don't think we have to build great big gymnasiums. Go on over, go on outside and do it. Are you hearing this? We're going to these meetings. Where is it?
Well, it's down in Florida. Man, I'll be glad to get down there. Going down there. Well, how many's going? Well, I don't have to pay. Someone's paying my way. Yeah, God's been good to me. They're paying my way. Everything paid. How about donating that money to somebody that needs it? Say amen, somebody. You know how many people are traveling all over? Trusting God to give them money to fly here and there, I think sometimes they get it just to get rid of them. How many are hearing this? Or weekend excursions or 2 weeks at Lake Tahoe. Oh, you make people mad when you talk like that. Were you planning on a trip, were you? Your 14th trip to Israel, look inside a tomb that's empty, and the Lord told you not to come back here looking for him. Are you going there, are you? He trusted in God. His faith was not mere repetition of a creed or a profession of belief, but a childlike reliance upon God. And we need to return to that childlike faith and say, I trust in you, Father. I trust in you. Learn that. Trust in God where you're at. Ours should be the same. But oh, how we love to complicate it. By our many professions and our formulas and our timetables and our demands and our self-creations. and all worrying about the opinions of people. What'll they ever think? Don't worry, half of them don't think anyway. Say amen, somebody. But we know we had great faith because the crowd, and he had great faith because the crowd confessed it. He trusted in God. And they went walking by and shot their lip out. He trusted in God. And then a guy way back here, he trusted in God. And pretty soon they were all standing there. He trusted in God. He trusted in God. Huh? About that time, the earth was stirring. And dust particles were coming together. And saints of past, some 500, were coming together. And heaven was starting to rumble and roll because they were making a confession for him. He trusted in God. He trusted in God. And all manner of miracles were happening, wasn't it, huh? Oh, yeah, all manner of miracles were happening during that time. And graves were being heaving up. And stones were tipping back and forth. And when he said, I give up the Holy Ghost, these people came up out of them graves and were seen walking the streets. Sometimes your enemy does you a favor. He trusted in God. Is there any other way to go? Are you listening on the radio? You know what's happening right now. See, a lot of people exercise their faith in secret and in the sly. They practice it in lonely hours and snug corners. They don't boast of the Lord in the open. So many are ashamed of Jesus Christ. But we can't even live unless we trust in God. Unless that I trust in God, where's my life? Where's my hope? And then we look at the cruel ones out there who saw Jesus die and couldn't say of him, now and then he trusted in God. They couldn't say that. Oh, once in a while you'd say, well, I think, you know, he has periods where he believed in God. His faith, it says, was known of all men. We should be like so much like that. Isn't that right? And admit that we dare to trust in God. And people may ridicule you. They may scorn you. They may look at you and say, oh, what a dummy you are. Stop saying you're trusting in God. Get up. You make me sick. How many want to learn how to trust God? Okay, now you put your hands up. You know what you just said there? I want to learn how to trust God. Now you're going to go to school. And going to school means that you're going to have to learn something. And learning something means you have to have an experience. And having an experience means that you're going to be made over into the image of Christ. And being made over into the image of Christ means you're going to have trials and tribulations and so on like that. And you're going to have to learn to what? Endure. I remember some years back, I said, God, show me and give me patience and throw everything on me so I can become Christ-like. Oh. A guy got outside of my church. He went to the expense of making up pamphlets. And several of the people that were in the church went out there, and they went out there with these pamphlets on the church. And they were, oh God, yeah, I really met some nuts in my day, okay? I mean, myself included, okay? But I mean, they was passing out these, here, and they had their religious lips. And a friend of mine said, I want to go out there right now. I'm going to take that box. I'm going to stuff it over their heads. And I'm going to kick them in the seat of the pants. I says, no, let them go. Let them go. Don't get involved in it. A little while later, a guy come up and he says, is this the church where they wring chickens' necks and have sacrifices? We don't want that kind of church in our neighborhood. I said, well, I've never wrung a chicken's neck. I've wrung a few men's necks in my day. Chicken. And then I laughed because it was funny to me. But that's what was going around. I told the guys, what do you think this is? One of them roosters come down in them parachute things? What do they call it? No, this is not a chicken factory. It's nothing like that. I said, wherever did you get that? Well, I heard about it. I got a paper and so on like that. You know what I mean? I remember years ago, I started my ministry out there, and I was working with young prostitutes, men and women, boys and girls, and I had worked with drugs and alcohol and some real heavy cases. And four women came. And this was a youth meeting I had. See, and there was like 150 young people there. And I was ministered to them, and they got up, and they had a tape recorder they were trying to hide. And they couldn't get the dumb thing to work, you know, and so I took it out of her purse, and I said, here, you got to push these two buttons here. And I says, are your batteries good? Here, plug it in the wall. You're going to have that. You're going to have people checking you out all the time. If you're moving in the Lord, it's just something you got to expect. When you start moving in the Lord, you got to expect those things to come. That those things happen to Jesus. They're going to happen to you. When you start trusting in the Lord, hey, you're going to find those things are going to be following you all over. Are you hearing this today? And besides, I feel and I know in my heart, it's comfortable to trust in God. I really feel comfort when I trust in the Lord. Now, how do you do that? By faith. A guy called the other day. He said, you going to pay this bill? Well, I said, yeah, I'm going to trust God that it'll be paid. What? Well, I said, I'm going to trust God it'll be paid. Well, when's he going to come through? I said, I don't know. Why don't you pray about it? Want to join me in prayer? Right? Will you trust God with me for this $900? Will you? No, he's kind of under the gun now, isn't he? He's just giving back the ball. Say, let's trust God together and see what he's going to do. I don't know what his timetable is or when he's going to get to this bill, but it'll help if you'll pray about it. He ain't praying. The bill ain't paid either. I'm still trusting in God. I am. Well, who else can I trust? Anybody? Can I trust any of you in here? Come up and give me $900 right now. Well, it could be if God puts it on your heart. Bring it up here. I don't care how it comes. Can you trust God with 10% when you only got a dime? It's only a penny. Can you trust God when you got $1 million to give Him 10%? Can you trust Him with your life? I trusted God with my life. Why not? Why not trust God? I mean, the maker of you. Why not trust God with your life? Isn't it comfortable to trust God? But you know, I feel so comfortable. You know why? Because I know He's faithful. And I think it's also uplifting to trust in God. Now, if you trust in men, even the best of men, they will let you down sooner or later. Or both, sooner and later. Won't they? Won't they? Won't they? You trust in your dad? Your earthly dad? I mean, you can be the best person in the world. You trust in him? You trust in mommy? You trust in a son or daughter or mate? What? I mean, there's only one that you can trust in, God. I mean, I should write a book and I should advise the enemy not to oppose the man who trusted in God. You say, someone comes up and they're opposing you, say, I wouldn't do that if I were you. Why? I'm trusting in God. Won't that stop the enemy when you say, I'm trusting in God? Don't run away from this test. I mean, what they're saying is very logical. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. I looked at this and I thought, this taunt has a very great appearance of being very logical. He trusted in God. Let's see if it works. And when you trust God, people are going to sit around seeing if it's going to work. Isn't this the way we thought before we were saved? So don't run away from this test. He trusted in the Lord, says the enemy, that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him. And however malicious the design, there is no escaping from the logic of its challenge. When people say, do you mean you're going to trust in God? That's logical. Say, yeah. Now, it's painful in our hour of trial, and it's painful in our hour of appeal. It's all the more trying when people say, are you going to trust in God now? And then we have to start to think about it. We have to start to look at the faces. Oh, let's see God get you out of this one. And people will always make this appeal to you. Are you going to trust God? Don't waste time arguing with them or pointing your finger back at them. Move on. Move on. Well, what are you going to do now? Next thing. When your bills are behind, when the kids go astray, when the husband starts complaining, when the wife starts complaining, when your business goes under, when your ministry looks like it's headed for an attack, yet the Lord was not spared this ordeal, was he? Why should you be? Huh? I was praying with Mick this morning in the sound room, and he says, Lord, thank you for our health. What more have you got? Hey, if you got your health, haven't you got it? Are you healthy? Are you breathing? Is your lungs going in and out? Are you able to move around? Isn't that what it's all about? I mean, what more is there? Are you feeling good? I mean, are you feeling skip-dee-doo? Isn't that what it's all about? I remember as a kid, I was just simple. Oh, I'd wake up in the morning and rub my eyes and crawl under. We had a little ice box, and I'd open up the door of that thing, and there was a hole in the back where they shoved the ice through, and I'd crawl through there, and I'd get outside, and I'd look around. And the first thing I'd do is, we live right downtown on Main Street, and I'd get out, and I'd start skipping. Oh, I feel like doing that all the time. I do. I feel like doing it in Donaldson's or Dayton's or anything. And someone would come up and ask me and say, what are you doing? I said, I'm just trusting in God to have a good time today. Bible says if you want joy, you got to jump for it. Imagine if you were just in the store and you start jumping. I said, what are you doing? I'm trusting God to bring me joy. Well, could you trust in God when they came with a little white wagon? You're laying on a bed, flopping around, all tied up. And see, now you're already happy. You know why? Because you're learning how to trust God. Trusting God is just simply trusting God. There's nothing more than that. And trust God for your health, like Mick says. Thank God for our health. And thank God for this, and thank God for that, and thank God for this, and I'm trusting God for this, and I'm trusting God for that. How about trusting God right now? And people say, oh, I get so sick of hearing you say, Pastor Paul, I love you so much. First of all, they love you so much, right? Now, you preachers know what I'm talking about. Pastor Paul, or Pastor John, or Pastor Fred, or Pastor whatever, Mabel, anybody. Yeah. Oh, we love you so much. But, you know, you relate back to the old stories of people trusting God. David and the giant, and then... and Naaman in the seventh dip, and you go into Samson and the pillars, and Joseph in the dream, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel in lion's den, and all that, you know. Oh, I said, well, then how about right now? Could you trust God then if they pulled your car away? Next week, when you'll be evicted from your apartment, would you trust God then? I mean, do you want to be a modern hero? How about if you're hungry or wearing a pacemaker? Maybe out there in a wheelchair. Do you dare to trust God right now? Satan will always taunt all of us. Let him deliver him now. Our God is the God of hills and valleys, and mark it down, all of our faith will be tried. Oh, a guy called me up. He says, you know, Pastor Paul, I've been to this seminar, and I have heaps and heaps of faith now. And I thought, how can you have heaps and heaps of faith? I got a mountain of faith. I says, now what are you going to do with it? Now, is there particular kinds of faith? And you need a certain kind of faith? Do you have to dig through this straw pile to get that certain thing? What do you mean you have heaps of faith? No, I said, I think you're missing it. I think you have faith that the Lord will deliver you, and that's all you need. Have faith in God. How much do you have to learn to have faith? I mean, how can you have heaps and heaps and heaps? And I says, now it's self-conceit again. Don't refuse the test. Did the Christian martyrs ever, and I'm closing, did they ever refuse? No. Well, I think sometimes people think that they're almost perfect. I told this guy, I says, now let's just visually do this thing. Let's open up the furnace door and put the heap in it. Open up the furnace door and put the heap in it. And let's see how it shrinks. And let's see how it shrivels. And notice it's turning to ash right now. Is there anything left? Let's take a magnifying glass and see what happened to that great big heap of faith. And I said, did you go into the fiery furnace? Have you gone in there now? Have you experienced what I'm talking about in your mental eye? Are you inside there now? No, he didn't, you know, I didn't want. I said, well, let's go through it again, and this time you do that. And he did it, and I says, okay, now pick up a magnifying glass, and let's go together, and let's look through that thing. And I could just see him down there with an eye about this big looking through a magnifying glass. You ever seen somebody's eye when that looks through the magnifying glass? I could see this big eye down there. I said, now, I says, what do you see down there? I says, let me borrow it for a minute, because I'm real good at seeing these things. Because I know it's only a mustard seed of faith. Now, you're looking for some great big thing, see, for self-conceit to build yourself up. Give me the magnifying glass. And I said, I'm getting real close. Oh, my. Look at this faith here. It's a little mustard seed. It's been tried by the fiery trials, and here it is. Now, careful. I'm going to give it to you in your hand, and it's so small you could even lose it. But I said, it's condensed. And it's all you need. Come out of the self-conceit and come out of all these things. Because faith is only faith when it's tried and tested. In the lion's den, I know you're going to hate to hear me say that, sir, or in the fiery trial, or Samson and the pillars, and all of these noble men of faith that went through it, and Moses and Elijah, and John and Paul and Jesus. But that faith that is not tested is not worth anything. You don't know if it's going to work. This is going to work, and this is what you have. Faith in God, a mustard seed of faith, and that's all you need. You don't ever heap up heaps and heaps of faith. I said, you know what? Right now, the devil, he's jibing me all the time. And you know what? It allows me to become stronger and stronger because I get bigger and bigger tests. I said, for instance, I said, man, I says, can your ministry stand the test of poverty? Can your ministry stand the test of scandal and scorn and sarcasm and contempt? Those are all trials, and those are all fiery trials. And don't say a word. Don't say anything in your defense. Let them say in the very end, he trusted God to deliver him. How about when sickness comes? How about when depression comes? How about the common trials of life? Examine your faith, but examine it under fire and in the fire. And now let us finish. Yes, God does deliver those that trust in him. Now for reality, many are the afflictions, it says, of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Those who trust in God and have been in all sorts of troubles, they have always been delivered. Aaron, his two sons were struck dead for their profanity. And Aaron has said, held his peace. What grace? Remember, if you remember anything about this message, that God will always deliver you. But it will always be in a trial. In a lion's den, holding and pushing on the pillars, or wherever, God, Mount Carmel, God will always deliver you when you're under fire and you dare to trust God. Are you hearing this? And maybe even God will deliver you in the very own way that He delivered His own Son. I don't know. What if God would have pulled up the cross? What if legions of angels would have been sent? What if Jesus would have called out, "Stop! I've had enough! I've trusted you far enough, and look where it's got me!" What would have happened? Redemption would have been unaccomplished. Salvation work undone. Jesus returning with His life work undone. And wouldn't this have been a defeat for us? Think if Jesus would have said, "It's too much. I can't bear this." Isn't it better that Jesus died on the cross? Isn't it wonderful that He died on the cross? And remember, and this is the end here. Remember, it is not God's will that every mountain be leveled, but that we should be stronger for climbing the hill, let's say, of difficulty. God will deliver. He must deliver. He will deliver in our cases. God will always deliver. Anyhow, He will deliver His chosen. Did you hear this? Jesus has said, cried out, and this is in Matthew 27:50-51, Jesus, when He had cried out again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent twain from the top to the bottom. And Hebrews 10:19-20 says like this, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in to the holiest of by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh." When Jesus yielded up the Holy Ghost, it said this huge goat's wall was rent in two. And when Jesus died on the cross and He was rent in two, means we can come boldly to the throne room of God. Why? There is no partition anymore. There is nothing in between us and the blessed Savior anymore. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus anymore. There is no sin that can overcome you to death anymore, take away your salvation. There is nothing. It's a completed work. Jesus right now has caused that petition to come down. You can trust in God. You must trust in God. Hallelujah. God says right now, stop grieving, but come to Me. We don't have to no longer dwell in the thick darkness anymore. The curtain has been rent from top to bottom. It's a great mystery. Yes, it is. It's a great mystery. We aren't going to learn about it until we get to heaven. But it's a great mystery. Yes, it is. But I know one thing in a simple childlike faith right now. You can trust God to deliver you. And if you can't even say it where you're at right now, men will say it of you. He trusted God, let Him deliver him. They're going to be saying that and pointing at you. And pointing at you on the radio, on the tape ministry right now. When you dare to believe God in your ministry's preacher, you're going to have to go ahead and dare to believe God to deliver you. And if they go ahead and give the confession for you and say, "He dared to have God deliver him, let Him deliver him now." What a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. Is there anybody in here today that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior?